The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology.
Do you want to be in this marriage or not?
I'm here, right?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Now try it again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do you want to be in this marriage or not, Rich?
Absolutely.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Asked by local reporters about his now deleted tweet about retirement, Robbie Anderson said he was just thinking out loud, but it was nothing too serious. The question, do you want to be a Panther? Answer, I'm here, right?
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Sapp, Lakers head coach Darvin Ham, plus Bucks linebacker Lavonte David. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes. What a day here on the Rich Eisen Show. Absolutely so much to talk about here on this program on NBC Sports on Peacock, on NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM 85. We say hello to the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio listeners coast to coast, as well as those listening on Odyssey, YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for anything that you may have missed over the next 3 hours. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey,
how
Rich.
Are you?
Man, what's good? I got a little blister. I hit the range yesterday, but I'm feeling good. I'm okay.
TMI.
I'm going to make it.
Good to see you, Jay Felly, sitting there for Mike Del Tufo. TJ Jefferson, lighting a candle. What's up? You're clicking your lighter.
Yeah, sometimes I try to light it before you get to me so you don't hear that
sound.
I
think you break a fire code every day here on this program.
No chance. But happy birthday to Tupac, the late, great Tupac. It's his birthday.
Okay, very good. Good to see you over there. Three guests today. Lavonte David of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be last up. First up is Warren Sapp. He was coaching the Washington Commanders yesterday, and that earned a phone call from me to him to say, what's up with that?
Rich, can you repeat what he told you about the knowledge on your text?
I asked him. I asked him what he was doing there, and he said, I can't die with all this knowledge. So that was his response.
That's amazing.
So Warren Sapp will be joining us on this program. And then words that I never heard growing up in my household, there's ham on the menu. And
wow,
what?
you didn't enjoy swine in the Eisen household? Is that what you're saying?
Not
kosher.
No, it's definitely not kosher.
You missed out on bacon, my man.
Definitely not kosher. Did you eat ham growing up too?
No.
Yeah, I did.
Of course he did.
Oh, yeah, he's not.
He's got tattoos. What are you talking about?
What is it? I can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery.
You cannot be.
Yeah.
It's 2022. He's got ink. He's got ink. What do you think? You're turning to him, you're Jewish, and you've got ink. You definitely never had bacon, though, right? All right, ham's on the menu.
Bacon tastes so good.
It is so delicious.
I hear you. I eat it now.
Okay,
as a kid, not so much.
You also have a Christmas tree.
Let's move on. Darvin Ham's on the program. I opened the door. I understand. You walked in.
I had to.
You burst straight through.
It's okay.
Darvin Ham's on the program. Darvin Ham's on the program. So lots to talk about with him.
Is he Lakers walking coach. Two blocks down?
He'll be on the phone, and we'll hit that a little later on the show. Okay. And also, I think we will spend some time on his unique qualifications, being a head coach in the NBA. He's taken quite an interesting path to this point in time. And I think there's a triple play at work that we'll kind of lay out there that I don't think any coach has gone through in the NHL. NBA. Speaking of NHL, heck of a start!
Oh my gosh!
To the Stanley Cup Final.
What a game!
A group of games that each constitute a final as the NHL says, Stanley Cup final, 4 goals apiece, and we needed extra hockey to figure it out. And the Colorado Avalanche beat, 4-3. There was 4 goals combined in the first period of this game. And then 3 goals apiece, and then we needed extra hockey to wrap things up. Colorado taking a 1-game-to-none lead on the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning.
Lightning overcame 2-goal deficits twice. It was 2-0 and 3-1.
And the Lightning coming back from those 2-goal deficits almost handed the Avalanche their first game one loss of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's Stanley Cup playoffs.
But
Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Thank you, Chance the Rapper.
That was a great segment chiming in. By us.
So, and then tonight. Tonight. NBA Finals, Game 6. Could it be the final game of the finals?
Finals.
As the Golden State Warriors head to Boston and their potty mouth fans.
The Golden State Warrior?
They'll be all full of swing oil as they hung out in Brookline all day, screaming at the players in the United States Open.
And it's an afternoon Red Sox game, so you could literally go to all 3 events today in Boston.
And then you're going to go to a Boston Celtics game. Boston Celtics game 6 versus the Golden State Warriors. Celtics in a do-or-die game. This is it. 2 games to go in the season or just one? And if the Golden State Warriors win tonight, that would give them 4 rings in the Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. I guess you got to throw Andre Iguodala in for some of them era. 4 of them. Four. Steph Curry wins tonight. Let's just focus on Steph, shall we? Steph Curry wins tonight. That would give him as many rings as Jamal Wilkes. No. That's not the name, although that would be accurate.
But say no lies.
Didn't see that one come at you.
I like your style, Rich. I like your style.
Same number of rings as the guy that apparently Darvin Ham doesn't want to see in his coach's meeting. Kurt Rambis. But there's another Laker of note.
Keep going.
Who he would tie in all-time rings, and that is LeBron James. And that would open the door to a lot of stupidity in my sports television and conversation business.
But they're here for it.
Yep.
But if Steph Curry wins tonight, that would give him 4 rings. He'd be too shy of Michael Jordan. Steph Curry tonight. And he would really have to regress from even one of his worst games of his career to not win the most valuable player of this here finals.
Yeah, big favorite. Yeah, from MVP.
I mean, the NBA writers who adore him, and rightfully so, I do as well. I think they're just itching for any reason to put that on his resume. Since Andre Iguodala won the first.
Well, they robbed him of one in 2015.
Right. And then Kevin Durant won the next two. And that's the most important thing about this opportunity for the Warriors and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Steve Kerr tonight. That it's like, yes, that first one was before Durant. But I think all of us in the NBA world looking back on it, did they eke that one out? Did they eke out that championship that year?
2015?
Well, I mean, just view it in that way that they kind of churned their way into becoming a champion that year. And
6 games. Yeah.
I think that's the way it's viewed from here on back, that they kind of really were churning it out, using all of their energy to get through it. And Andre Iguodala was the NBA Finals MVP. Be that as it may,
for holding the guy to 38.
The way it was looked at for sure post LeBron and Kyrie beating them coming back from 3-1 is they needed another piece in order to actually sustain their greatness. And Durant arrived.
That's a hell of a piece.
I know that. I know it. The leading to the famous Draymond Green, you created the super team, bro. Line when they won their NBA championship.
You started the super team, bro.
Man, Del Tufo would have never got that.
My mouse was on that. That was weird.
You know what? It was kind of meant to be that you would have had it.
But yeah, you started the super team, bro, and then Durant leaves him. Amazingly, in a sign and trade that brought D'Angelo Russell to Golden State, who they wound up flipping for Andrew Wiggins, who has provided that fourth wheel, that fourth leg of the championship throne chair in games 4 and 5. And thus, them losing Durant and then losing all of their mojo in a dreadful pandemic bubble season that they just didn't even go to the bubble. They're like, we're out. We're done. We don't need to be there. We don't want to be there. We're just going to take a break. We'll take the first overall pick if the popcorn machine comes out with our lottery ticket. They did. They don't even have James Wiseman this year, and they make the NBA Finals, and they're one game away from winning it. If they win it this time around, this is the one that they could hold up even more proudly than the first one that they won in this stretch. This is the one where nobody thought this could possibly happen. Nobody thought that they could go from last first overall choice to winning it all again, even with the fact that, well, you still had Curry injured and Klay was injured and Draymond Green is still there. You know, put it all together. Nobody still thought that they could win it all. Well, not nobody. I did. But outside of all that.
I was waiting for that, Chris. I was waiting for that.
Outside of all that, tonight could be triumphant for me, but I'm trying to be respectful of the man who actually has an emotional tie to tonight's game. And all the Celtics fans out there who have loved watching this team that's come from nowhere, one of the more enjoyable rides that Boston Celtics fans have seen. And I think tonight they show up. I think they show up. I think they'll have fewer than 18 turnovers. And I think they show up, and I think we're going to get a game 7. I still feel it. I still feel it.
Obviously, I hope you're right.
But the Warriors, I'm not as confident. But the Warriors are championship quality. The Warriors have champions and Hall of Famers all over the place, from their coach to the players on the court. And they're going to be playing with the proverbial house money tonight, and that's what I would be particularly concerned about. They've got the backstop of a home game on Father's Day, not the Celtics. And so that would concern me for Boston. But I think the Celtics will show up tonight and have a good enough game to be able to force a game 7. That's my 2 cents on the subject matter. Where are you watching the game?
I'm just going to be at home in a dark room.
Okay.
Probably.
So I'll be at a poker table with my buddies watching the game.
Having way much more fun.
And so, it depends on if my friends suck out on the river. But
is Murph playing tonight?
No, Murph might play tonight.
What's up, Murph?
I don't know. Murph, if you're playing tonight, call in and curse.
Free Murph.
When the Warriors play tonight, though, they know they've got the backstop of Sunday, and they have history in the making. And also, like I said, a W for the Dubs that nobody saw coming, and I think is more impressive than winning with Durant or even winning for the first time as this team and tasting championship champagne like they did all those years ago. This is the time when Curry's supposed to be over the hill, and Klay's not the same player, and Draymond Green and his magic is, you know, left his game, and so on and so forth. And the Warriors can come back and win with this team. I think this is the one that they can point to that banner and be most proud of.
Even more so than the first one?
I think so.
Yeah.
Now, that could also be recency bias.
Or the fact that you picked them.
No, I'm actually removing that from the equation.
Okay.
But I'd love to see who else in the national TV or radio conversation chose the Warriors before the season. Anybody else?
I'm sure there'll be a lot of people claiming.
Any other comers?
I don't know. I'll
at take the a, crown over
see,
here?
Let's see if I can find that.
No, let's do that. You should do that. It's another drop here.
You should do that.
Thank you.
You know what the Celtics should do,
you should
Chris?
Do that.
I would have
not turned the ball over tonight.
Well, I would have done.
By the way, everything. before you finish your comment, that really is the entire ball game.
That's what we talked about on our podcast yesterday.
Yeah. The Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast.
I was listening to Stan Van Gundy talk on another program yesterday, and he was kind of saying the same thing. Like, if you look at it, just team straight up. The Celtics are better. It's when they really shoot themselves in the foot that's the games they've lost.
Not just turnovers, Chris, but bad turnovers.
Bad turnovers, missed shots. I mean, it was a make-miss league. I get it. But it just seems like, you know, before we talked about all the finals experience, the Warriors had 123 games.
That means nothing right now.
And the
now,
Celtics had zero. I actually think that's been a huge factor.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Just a team that has been there before. Their core players know what it takes. It's
understand
like, you know,
runs.
It's like playing in the NFL playoffs. Like, if you got Tom Brady against a rookie quarterback, who do you think is going to be more calm in that situation?
I guess so. But it's now fight or flight now, man. And so yeah. I think that you could throw that out the window.
But we're going to need more like a 40-point quintessential
Celtics. And plus, the Celtics have played in game sevens. This
group
playoffs,
has,
right?
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
So,
but still, it's a little different when the title's on the
it's
line.
It's just like when the calls aren't going your way, just suck it up and turn
so
around and walk away.
Yeah, right.
Look, Rich, when you're playing for the David Stern Trophy, you got to throw out everything else
nice.
And really go for it.
Nice. So. Okay. Very well done. Jew Gordon Liddy would say the same thing. Because he tried to break into Larry O'Brien's office. Okay. Right, let's not go down the Watergate wormhole.
Come for sports, stay for the history.
We
that's
do
right.
We a whole Watergate show?
We can. All right. So, by the way, the U.S. Open's going down. I already saw Rory McIlroy slam his sand wedge into a bunker twice out of a fit of pique. Looks like what I would look like.
But he just birdied six, Rich, so
he is
tied for the lead.
He's still tied for the lead.
Three under.
And, you know, the gorse everywhere, and you just take a look at the rough.
It is.
It's not rough.
It's not.
It's whatever's worse than rough. What's worse than rough?
It's like whatever you'd find in a jungle, really.
Yeah. You need a machete.
You could literally be standing right next to your ball and not see it.
Correct.
That's how thick the rough is.
Right. So that's what's going down.
So
I mean, what a day.
The rough is Peter Garrett.
What a day in Boston, Massachusetts. What a sports day.
Great sports day.
The U.S. Open going on right now and the Celtics tonight. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our buddy Warren Sapp's going to join us. Although our time may be limited, I think he's on a plane, but he's kind enough to call in leaving Washington, D.C., where he coached the Washington Commanders defense yesterday.
I hope he didn't teach him too much, man. Man, I hope not.
And I was wondering, how do you wind up there? How do you wind up there? So he's coming up next, and we've got some good stuff today, too. T.J. Jefferson has come up with an idea that we're going to name the best players in the history of every single franchise in the National Football League.
Yes, indeed.
Just one, though. No Mount Rushmore. We're cutting three quarters of the Mount Rushmore right off.
Yes, indeed.
And so you're going to do that for the every single division in the NFL next eight shows.
That's a lot of TV.
That's a lot of legs, man. Well, I mean, we're going to chime in, too.
Okay, good. I just don't want people to
we're just going to pop your four names up on the screen, and then we'll critique your work.
Okay, I'm with that.
They're better. I know who the Jet is. I assume you do too.
Al Toon. We'll just let the people know before we go.
Raymond McNeil. What?
By the way, he wouldn't be a bad choice. So let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. An eye on the U.S. Open leaderboard and our ears open for Warren Sapp's phone call when we come back on this busy Thursday. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we just fixed not only the Celtics' turnover problems, but also Chris Brockman's potty training issues with his beautiful, beatific 2-year-old boy, Cage Brockman, who one day will Google his name because my children are doing that right now in school.
Google their own name?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And Google his name and see the video one day on a YouTube page of us talking about his potty training. It'll be great.
That is amazing.
It'll be great. Oh, yeah. Xander has a whole bunch of YouTube videos with his name on it for his appearances on this program.
Yeah.
From turkey bowling with the late, beautiful Bob Saget.
That's true.
To him calling up by the way, wanting to follow up. He has a major issue with our TikTok game. Major issue with our TikTok game. And he's out for summer. He wants to.
Oh, but he's gone.
He wants to. No, but he wants to. He literally wants to take over the TikTok.
He can't do it while he's gone, can he?
Can't do it while he's gone, and he can't do it while in school.
Oh. But kids are doing it in school anyway.
That's the problem.
Oh.
That's the problem.
Hey, how'd you do on your humanities test? I didn't do so well. Why? Because TJ's dropped the TikTok ball? That can't happen.
But I got 100,000 views today.
Hey,
you know what I mean? Like,
that'll get you into Stanford, won't it?
It probably would nowadays, man.
Actually, you're probably right.
It probably would get you in Stanford.
Right. What is happening?
So, yesterday, I think it was right around this time yesterday, I turned to you. I'm like, guess where Warren Sapp is?
Yeah.
He's in Washington Commanders mandatory minicamp. I'm like, crazy. What's up with that?
Like, what? How?
Coaching. Coach Sapp.
I like it.
So I texted him right away. I text Warren Sapp. I'm like, are you in Washington Commanders training camp? And he wrote back, yes, in the building as we speak. And he texted me a photograph of him and Doug Williams.
That's awesome.
Okay. And then I respond, I'm like, wow. And then he wrote back, can't die with this knowledge.
I love that.
Which we could put on a t-shirt.
I was saying, yes, that's a t-shirt.
A Rich Eisen Show t-shirt. Can't die with this knowledge.
That's awesome.
I think we got to do that.
Like I said.
All right. Great idea.
The wrong team.
Put a pin in that. Let's trademark it and call our clothing folks after this program.
Do we have folks for clothing?
Yeah, we do. It's richeisenshop.com.
Right, because I got a bunch of
mugs,
t-shirt
hats,
ideas,
t-shirts, and all that business.
Got ideas.
Oh, by the way, we just folded in a promo for our shop right into introducing our friend Warren Sapp.
Rich, you're a professional.
Who I believe is flying out of D.C. as we speak. On the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, our friend, Pro Football Hall of Famer, first ballot Pro Football Hall of Famer, Warren Sapp. How you doing, Warren?
Always good to hear from my humble host. What's good, Rich?
What happened? How'd you wind up with the Washington Commanders? Where did that come from?
You know, it's a small world. You know, it's a small world.
I do.
You're talking about NFL locker rooms. You're talking about an even smaller world. So my old DB, Martin Mayhew, from my rookie year, is now the general manager of the Washington Commanders.
Okay. And that's how you wound up there.
He gave me a call and said, Jeff Scanini, the old defensive tackle with Marshall at St. Louis. You remember him?
Of course.
90?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. He's the assistant D-line coach with Sam Mills III. Sam Mills' kid is the head D-line coach there. So Sam Mills going in the hall. I'm in the halls. Jeff already worked with me before. Martin Mayhew made the call. I was on my way to Washington.
Oh, my gosh. And now you're on your way somewhere else as we hear the
As you hear the beautiful flight attendant give us all the information that we need to move around, do whatever they do. But you know the one thing I do know, Rich?
What's it?
There's nothing going to stop me and you from handling this thing.
Okay.
So there you go.
Honestly, I saw you yesterday coaching the Washington Commanders, and I saw I'll be honest, it's jarring to see you in something other than either Buccaneers or even Raiders.
The knowledge has to flow. If someone calls you and there's an ex good buddy of yours over at Espen that you used to work with, and you say, I'm over here at this other spot, you gotta go. You gotta make a pitch. But you maybe not, because you know you got that exclusive deal over that face of the NFL.
Well, I'm on Peacock right now with you right now, so you never know. That's true. I have
come by calling, and there we go.
That's see? Why I'm here every day. I have too much in my mind and my heart. I have too much knowledge. I've got to give it out too.
So that's why I'm going to get back on the podcast. I need you on the podcast as soon as I started. I'm starting off with Richard Eisen. We're going to go back all the way to the Stuart Scott days, to the booyah, baby, when sports was sports, baby.
That's sports was sports. Yes,
sports
sir.
Sports, baby.
That's right. Way back in the day when you're rocking it with the Canes and the Jets let you drop. You know, the Jets let you fall in the draft.
No, I did that. I did that. Don't blame the Jets. I did that.
You did that? What do you mean you did that?
Yeah.
What?
I went to the combine, and the test said no. Hey, man.
I thought the test said yes, actually. I thought that's what the test
said. Positive in the wrong way. You know that one we've been running from for the last 2 years that you finally called me and told me yours were positive? Yeah, like that. And then not a good positive.
Oh, my God. So so did you get a close-up look at Chase Young? Is that who'd you see?
You know what? The young fella is rehabbing. And right. I watched, you know, he came up and he was walking around and doing what he was doing. And we was having a good time, you know, just interacting. I was in the media room. I got to see them do how they interact with each other. I was like a fly on the wall, but a really very very big fly.
Well,
they actually let the fly address them.
Okay,
and they actually let me address them and, you know, share some of this 13 years of knowledge and, you know, some of the people I've been around with, Simeon and Derek Brooks and John Lynch, and the way we swarmed that defense and the trust and the camaraderie and the accountability that we had between each other.
And
that's
so
what I want to share with them more than anything, because, you know, the thing that the lasting image I have of these two defensive tackles is them beating each other up on Monday Night Football.
That's right.
Exactly.
I forgot about that.
So you can't forget about that, because as soon as anything comes up, that's the first tape they're going to roll. So I told them, I said, y'all got to put enough tape out where that's the 30th tape they're going to play. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to get to a point where you dominating this thing together as brothers, because I know y'all brothers. Because brothers fight. I got three of them. You know what I'm saying? And I never want to fight. So trust me, I didn't want to fight, but I had to fight, and I was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So at least y'all got a sporting chance against each other.
I had totally forgotten about that.
Good kids. And Chase is rehabbing, and he said the best words I can hear from somebody rehabbing. I'm going to make it stronger than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's on the right path.
So, Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, who did you get a close-up look at then that you thought, okay, that kid's pretty special?
The two tackles, Payne. Jonathan Allen and the Payne kid, oh, my goodness.
Okay.
I love Chartrick Darby. That's my man I won my Super Bowl with. But if Chuck was the size of this Jonathan Allen kid, holy smoke. And he was a two-gap guy, Rich, and now he's getting him on the edge and going to actually penetrate, man, it's a whole new world for him. And when you give a guy that's in his sixth year a whole new world, oh, my goodness. He was talking about his conditioning and some other stuff. I'm like, yeah, you're going to need to go four quarters to get somebody that wants to throw the ball 40 times a game. So understand what the task is. And each one of those throws, you have 3 seconds or less. So get your mind right. And it's a marathon, and you're not getting stronger at the end of a marathon. So go home, hydrate, build your body up, because when you come back, it's breakdown time.
So, Warren, I didn't hear all the way out here in Los Angeles, Warren Sapp, fresh off of the Washington Commanders practice. Did you chat with the defensive coordinator at any point in time, Jack Del Rio?
Yes, you have to go see the defensive coordinator. But, you know, Rich, there's my rule. There's three things you kept out of the locker room, and there was two extra ones. It was wives, kids, and money, because I can't spend your money, I can't have your old lady, and I definitely don't want your kids. But the two things that definitely didn't enter my locker room was your politics or your religion. I don't care how you pray to, what God it is, we'll give you a room in the corner for you to do it, but in this locker room, no.
So,
I wasn't one of the members of the team, so I didn't get a chance to hear the apology. But for what the guy said, you know, after they came out, because, you know, it's just a locker room. They come out of there, blah, blah, blah. It was more like they laughed it off, but it was like, it's a good thing he did it. You see what I'm saying?
Meaning what? He just...
No. We don't do politics and religion. Glad he did it, but, you know, shouldn't have never got to that. As I was getting it, you know.
So there was no dust up with you and him?
No dust up.
Okay, just want to make sure that.
Hey, but my dust up is probably like the January 6th.
Dude,
you know me. They put a jersey on, baby. You know me. I'm gonna make a scene. So don't get me riled.
Put a jersey on. One of the famous Warren Sapp lines of all time, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, a Buccaneer being there in Washington, it's all good. You're Doug Williams. I saw that selfie with you and Doug Williams as well. Warren.
I'm going to see the quarterback. And then the quarterback and me share January 26th as the date that we got our championship. He got his in 92, I got mine in 2002.
How about that?
It's a beautiful thing, the whole little, the circle. I mean, the numbers never lie, Rich. You know this.
Right.
We like that. You got to feel it. And Doug's just one of those special, special people that been playing this game from the 70s. He led the Bucs to an NFC championship game. Come on. That was unheard of to me, Brooks and Lynch. got to working in that place.
So then what are you, I know, in the few minutes I have left with Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show, I know you were also imparting your wisdom at Buccaneers mini camp as well. So what did you pick up from there?
If I had Logan's Hall hands and feet, I would cut all mine off. You hear me? This young man here is long, lean, mobile, agile, hostile, and eager to learn. All of them, Payne and Allen, the same thing. I mean, this is a new generation. This is a new generation of defensive tackles that really want to perfect the art and chase the annals. You know, they call me the sensei and the OG. It feels pretty good, but the coach didn't kind of drive me crazy. All right, she's in the briefing. I'm not in the extra row. We good. Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
I'm just behind it. So, no, when you got young men that are that long and powerful, you just got to teach them what they possess. Long levers are strong levers. Slow feet and slow hands do not eat. So, you know me, huh? I got one way about this, Rich. It's all the way out, 100 miles an hour, and they were real receptive to it, so I told them I want to come back.
So
let me get them in pads.
Because, you know,
let me see them move around.
Sue's out and Hakeem Hicks is in. How does that work, Warren, for the defensive line in Tampa, do you think?
I don't know, but I know Ty Bowles is one of those guys who don't mix and match and put the guys where they need to put. And, hey, man, do we have enough room on the D-line? You put Hakeem Hicks and Vita Vega, ain't no room for nobody else. That's eating both A gaps and half both Bs. I mean, geez, that's a lot of space eating in there, ain't it?
Did you see TB12? Did you stop by and say hi to Tom?
No. I had to run. I didn't get that. We got the rookie. I didn't see Thomas. I'm gonna get to see Thomas when I go back up there.
All right. Are they closing the door on your plane, Warren? Is that what's happening?
No, he's sneezing behind me. I'm gonna put my mask on. So. I mean, it's a contest of who can get on this and do the worst. It's unbelievable. I gotta go. I'll use a baby cuss.
There he goes, Warren Sapp. Everybody, there you go. He just hung up.
That's it.
Is he seriously gone?
No, he's gone. He's off. He hung up. Yeah.
Wasn't me. It was him.
I thought Miller hit the.
No, I think he just.
A lot going on the plane right there.
He said people sneeze.
What happens when you call somebody and they're on a plane? But
yeah. Thanks to Warren.
Concerned about that Washington Commanders defensive lineup? By the way, I'd totally forgotten about when Payne and Allen went at each other from last year.
That was beautiful. I remember that.
I mean, that at the time was like story number one of the day until probably something else crazy happened. Then March happened. Then forget it. Concern?
Yeah. I mean, that team is... I mean, you know me, I don't like Washington, so I will put them down at any time I get, but that's a good football team, man.
Well, I thought they were winning the division last year based on how well the defense played 2 years ago, and then Heinicke looked surprisingly good in a playoff game, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick is coming in, and I thought he would wing it all over the place to McLaurin and Samuel and the running game, and the defense would... Ball. I mean, that defense, remember the way the defense played in Pittsburgh in that game where I think they were the ones who handed Pittsburgh their first loss of that season, right? Wasn't Pittsburgh undefeated? They were the longest undefeated team of 2 years ago, of the pandemic year.
I think you're right.
And then they
that.
Went in and beat Pittsburgh about the face, head, chest, and neck. And then... made the playoffs. Alex Smith couldn't make it all the way there, although
Washington,
he probably would have a difference of opinion.
Beat them 23-17.
So I thought Washington was going to win the division. I picked them to win the division. Fitzpatrick got hurt, and the defense looked nothing like the team from the year before. Obviously, when you have Chase Young playing not like defensive rookie of the year, but defensive player of the year 2 years ago, and he doesn't have any game like that at all before he got hurt for the rest of the season last year, they're not going to look the same. I get it.
What team did win the division last year?
I know.
Do you remember?
It wasn't even close.
You're
Dallas Cowboys. Oh, okay. The team that I've talked myself into believing in the rest of the world, I think, believes has taken a step back since that one and done playoff season of last year. These are facts. I'm just spitting facts.
Nothing you're saying is wrong. Yeah, accurate.
But I do find it interesting, Warren. I think if I can, I'm very you know, knowledgeable of the way Warren talks and how he communicates it, how he communicates it, that when he said that the team was happy or glad that Jack said that, I think they probably heard what Jack's beliefs were in the locker room. He said it. It was out there. It's now been completely tamped down. He has been fined for it. A lot of people believe he should have been fired for it. And now it's out there. He's deleted his Twitter account, and there's not going to be a single distraction about it. Maybe even in the locker room. That's potentially my read on it, or just get it out there. So if anybody believes this stuff, just keep it to yourself. And there'll be no politics talk or beliefs espoused in the locker room anymore. And that that's the way I read what Warren was saying about it.
I think I kind of read it also like when people say things, you just kind of like to know what people are thinking and where they stand
on certain situations. I think they knew it, though. The Twitter account that Jack Del Rio
wasn't exactly a secret.
Just made go poof like Kaiser Soze, filled with similar opinions that the protests by Black Lives Matter were far worse and needed the same commission, special select commission hearings as the January 6th, if you will, dust up was. Where people are taking photographs of sconces in bizarre hallways that nobody ever takes pictures of. So that's now, I guess, put to bed within that locker room, which is, for Washington fans, I think, good news. But Warren thinks those kids up front. And if Chase Young comes back healthy, oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's why I wanted – that's why I was choosing Washington to win the division. I'm not doing that this time around because I don't have full faith and credit in Carson Wentz either. So there's all of that. All right, when we come back, we're going to stir it up around here. We'll stir it up around here and get ready for Darvin Ham. And then TJ Jefferson, the all-time greatest players in the history of every franchise in the National Football League. We're going to take it division by division, day by day, over the next eight Rich Eisen shows. We start with the American Football Conference Eastern Division. I better hear the name Joe Willie Namath come out of the corner of this studio when it comes to the Jets.
Ooh.
Okay. Altoon. I loved Altoon, but you're just joking.
Am I?
Altoon might not even be the greatest receiver in the history of New York Jets.
Well, I'm going to make an argument.
Oh, he's not. I'll just put it out that way. He's not.
Mark Gastineau.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Oh, my God. Wayne Krabet.
Wayne Krabet.
All right. Now you're just trolling on me. I can't wait for that. That'll be top of hour number two. In the same hour, Darvin Ham, head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, calls us. That's all next and still to come right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Callaway ST drivers. You should put one in your bag today. And the neat part about it is there's four different offerings of the Rogue ST drivers that you can put in your bag depending on how much game you have in your bag. And the game is obviously figurative. The actual sticks are real. And they are built to completely bomb it. And so many golf equipment companies say that it's their products are built to completely bomb it, but these truly do. I use it. You should as well. The Rogue ST driver, the Rogue ST Max, that's what I use. Most golfers are going to fit into that. Incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. There's also the Max D, dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. The Max LS gives you stronger trajectory with a more neutral ball flight. You're watching the U.S. Open right now. You'll probably see all the true players out there using the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS. The compact low spin that the tour players adore. Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you have to do is go rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go rogue. So the U.S. Open is going down first round right now, and Rory McIlroy is on the final hole of his day, and as long as he pars it, he will hit the clubhouse as the leader.
Yeah.
First round leader. Now, obviously, this is a tournament where players have tee times and they go throughout the day. There's no shotgun start, is what I'm saying. There is a cut.
Four rounds.
There's four rounds. Yep. Yeah. So Rory, and there'll be a ton of other players who have an opportunity to knock him out of the clubhouse. But how about that? Rory McIlroy could take the lead into the clubhouse on his day.
Now we're talking.
Pretty neat stuff.
Amazing.
So the U.S. Open, is going down in Brookline, Massachusetts today. And then tonight it's game six, right? It's game six of the NBA Finals in Boston, Massachusetts.
Correct.
And then in between, Chris, you were saying as well that there's a Red Sox game going on today.
There's an afternoon Red Sox game.
So you've got championship golf going on in Brookline, Massachusetts. You've got NBA Finals going on at night. And right in between, you can see a team attempt to go six games above 500 on their season. If you want to see top-notch quality sports, you should be in Boston, Massachusetts today.
You mean a team try to win its 12th out of 14 games?
Yeah, terrific.
Is that good?
Absolutely. Unfortunately for them, during that stretch, they've gained zero games in the standings. As a matter of fact, they've lost a game.
Well, wow. Your team is good. I don't
That's
know.
Because
what
there's
do you want me
a
to
team
say?
Atop the American League Thanks. East that is on this day.
On this day.
Actually, we could say on the day before, June 15th, 30 games above 500. So 46-16 to beat the Rays, who the Yankees have had a dreadful time beating in recent years, to knock the Rays 11 games behind the Yankees in first place by June 15th.
Insane.
We call that a chef's kiss. A chef's kiss. So I did what any person who's a fan of a team that's having a generationally amazing start to their season, go to the Twitter account. And I throw out there, the Yankees are now 30 games above 500 on June 15th. That's it. That's all I put out there. I'm not like they're going to win the World Series. They're the greatest thing ever. It is amazing.
That's what you've been doing on this show.
It's been amazing because I'll tell you what, it's so rare to see 30 games above 500 by 15 days into June, 46 wins out of your first 62 games. It's insane. You don't see it so often. But what you see often are bitter, lonely people that choose that moment in time of your
biting words.
Bitter, lonely
people. I'm
not
bitter and lonely. I have a wonderful family that I love.
Tweeting
I have
out,
tons and tons
tweeting
of friends.
That back out at you. Put it up on the screen. I'll be sure to make you a t-shirt of this tweet when you're eliminated from the postseason, says
I'm doing
Chris
you
Brockman.
I'm getting you a gift.
And I responded by calling bitter lonely people rip on things with which they're not familiar. And I included just how rare this start is.
The last time you won.
The Yankees are just the sixth team since baseball. By the way, when things in the NFL, leave this on the screen for a second, Mike. When things happen in the NFL that are really rare, you always hear the words since the merger, right? Since the merger. This is since baseball integrated in 1947. The Yankees are just the sixth team to win 46 of their first 62 games. And I look on the screen, I don't see any Red Sox team having done it before. So I understand you're not familiar with it, Chris, so you don't know how to react to it when it happens. The Yankees have now done it for a third time in their history. But you know what? The Yankees haven't done very well lately. Red Sox fans will only want to talk about history when it's recent. We don't want to talk about curses and how long it took to break the curse. We only start history when you argue with a Red Sox fan since 2004. Recent history has been
this. Who talks about curses when they're done, when they're over?
Exactly.
The last time you guys won, you had one kid.
I'm very well aware of that, Chris.
I don't think you are because you're just
putting
keep writing checks.
No, I'm not. I'm putting out there how incredible this start has been. That's all I was doing.
But that's not what you're doing. That's not what you're doing.
What do you mean?
That's not what you're doing.
I just put out
just be honest.
Last night
just be honest.
That the Yankees are 30. Think about it. You're 30 games above 500.
That's pretty amazing.
Is the parade tomorrow?
No,
or
I'm not
the
saying
weekend?
There's a parade.
Like, when's the parade?
All I'm saying is the only teams on that list since integrated baseball to have done this, to have not eventually won the World Series.
Yeah, because I don't care pre-integration.
The 2001 Seattle Mariners. They lost to the Yankees that year.
I'm excited for the parade.
The Yankees are the team that eliminated them from that. And you know, let's just go back to 1930. Six other teams since 1930 have won 46 of their first 62. And all but one of those won the World Series, and that's the 2001 Seattle Mariners. We could include the 55 Brooklyn Dodgers. We could include you know, the 39 Yankees. The Yankees have now done it four times. But that, let's not talk about that history. Let's only talk about the recent history in which the Yankees have struggled and the Red Sox have done well. Let's forget about all those times beforehand.
Hey, can we apply that argument you just made to football?
To the Cowboys?
Yeah, please, because it's the same thing.
No, that's why Yankees fans are rightfully compared to
Dallas Cowboys fans. Because when I use that, I don't want you to crap on it later.
No, so but we can use that because the Yankees, since the Cowboys last won it all,
I'm just saying,
have won multiple World Series. As a matter of fact, back-to-back-to-back World Series.
I mean, that's not the point, though.
Including the 98 Yankees
who are
on this list of teams that I keep mentioning.
You can't like, say it works for this argument.
So we can actually use your point of demarcation that the Cowboys fans have had thrown in your direction to the point where generationally talented, it appears, stars of the game today, Kyler Murray, doesn't recall a time when the Cowboys were good.
I ain't worried about him.
Kyler. Hey, man, congrats on the title this year.
I'm not saying they're going to win the title. I'm just saying history shows.
But you have been saying that for weeks.
And I just tweet this out, and I got to look at the bile coming from your direction. All Red Sox fans, again, like...
But to call me bitter and lonely is so mean.
Well, you are. When it comes to sports.
I'm not.
You're angry today.
I said, were you going to watch game six tonight? He said, in a room in the dark.
Yeah, you did say that.
By himself. I mean, yeah. What did he say before?
But you just said, don't you want your lovely family to enjoy the game
with
you?
I'm not lonely, but I'm going to watch game six by myself in the dark.
I can't be around people tonight. What, are you crazy?
Yeah, that is true. People, I get it.
Is Sarah inviting grade school friends over for you to meet them the first time?
By the way, did you get any kickback from that?
Oh, boy.
No.
Oh, okay.
Game six is tonight. After the Red Sox try to go six games above 500. That'll be great.
Man.
Warrior versus Celtic.
I hate you.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, I just hate your kind.
My kind. The ones who root for franchises who are currently 46 and 16.
I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive.
Incredible.
It's impressive.
And the most impressive thing of all.
It's impressive.
Again, New York City.
So frustrating.
Where everybody eats their, figuratively, young. Everybody does that. Who cares that you went 3-for-4 yesterday? You suck because you went 0-for-4 tonight. Yeah. That's the mentality. Boo.
Boo. Boo.
And we'll let you know how we feel about you. And we chew people up and spit them out.
Spit them out.
In New York sports world. And Boston fans and Philly fans can all relate to it because it's very similar in the northeastern part of this country.
Yep. East Coast.
And when somebody says, I'm not going to sign long-term with this franchise right now because the amount of money that is insane for anybody else that roots for the team, the blue-collar fans who root for the team and white-collar fans who root for the team, all y'all, I'm not going to take that money because I think I'm worth more. And I'm going to bet on myself. Those people usually are the ones who get chewed up and spat out the most. And Aaron Judge has taken that and is having one of the best seasons we've seen anybody have under those circumstances. And he is the MVP, unquestioned MVP. Unquestioned. I don't care. Nobody else who's doing this sort of stuff. You know, your Don Alvarez.
No, I'm
terrific.
Just, I'm just kidding.
He's like, doing great.
He's amazing.
But this is New York City, and this team is 46 and 16, and he has 25 home runs. He hit a home run in the first inning again last night.
He's on a pace for 65.
Against the Rays ace. Like, that's MVP stuff.
1,100 OPS right now.
At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
That's right.
And it's not like he's doing it. It's not like he's hitting 240 either. He's hitting 313.
He's incredible. Yeah, he's just awesome. Whenever he's like, okay, let's see what you got, Aaron. Let's see what you got. Yankees aren't going to give you that long-term contract because you're like damn near 30 years old. He's like the Brandon Whedon of the Yankees, right? Everybody thinks he's young, but he's really old.
He's got 25 home runs, but only 49 RBIs.
Okay, nice nitpicking.
I'm just saying.
for the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments. It's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents. Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.